One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, and one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you said so, I will let down the nets."
ルカによる福音書5章の1節から5節までを日本語で拝読します。群衆がイエスに押し迫るようにして神の言葉を聞いたとき、イエスはゲネサレ湖の岸辺に立っておられたが、岸辺に小舟が2艘あるのをご覧になった。漁師たちはその船から降りて網を洗っていた。イエスはそのうちの一つのシモンの持ち船に乗り、陸から少し漕ぎ出すように頼まれた。そしてイエスは座って船から群衆を教えられた。話が終わるとシモンに、深みに漕ぎ出して網を下ろして魚を取りなさいと言われた。するとシモンが答えて言った。先生、私たちは夜通し働きましたが何一つ取れませんでした。でもお言葉通り網を下ろしてみましょう。
All right, all right. Let's get going. So we have a lot of good food today, and I know you're looking forward to that. But before we get to our fleshly food, there is something the Bible calls spiritual food. Jesus says to Satan, in one of the times he was tempted by Satan, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Amen. And so Jesus was saying there is, and he says that a couple of other times. One more time he talks about the spiritual food available for us. Amen. And so as we get excited about the potluck, I made my famous Kalula pork. Amen. there's something greater available for us today. Available for us right now. It's the spiritual food of God that is available to us. But before we get into that, let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the grace you extend to each and every one of us to come before you, to worship you, to stand before you, Lord, unashamed, to stand before you justified by your Son Jesus Christ. Jesus, we thank you so much, and we pray that we would learn to trust you more and to obey you and to learn to lean on you. We thank you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Today's scripture reading is about the calling of Peter and James and John. Let me read this again. Luke 5, it says, So it was as the multitude pressed around him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, which is also the lake of Galilee, and saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." But Simon answered and said to him, "Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boats to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the son of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will catch men." So when they brought the boat, so when they had brought their boats to the land, they forsook all and followed him. Amen. It's an interesting story, right? Jesus comes along, and most scholars say this isn't the first meeting that Peter had with Jesus. This was probably the second time. And so when Jesus was ministering, he's already had a large gathering, a large following, people that wanted to listen to him teach. And so Jesus goes to Peter and says, "Let me get into your boat, Peter, so that I could teach from your boat, because everyone's pressing in." And so Peter lets Jesus into the boat, and Jesus begins to teach. And after he teaches, he says something interesting to Simon Peter. He says to Peter, "Peter, I want you to catch some fish today." And then he says, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." What's interesting about this story is a miracle happens. That's fascinating. But Jesus is concerned about Peter's everyday life. I mean, there are days when Peter won't catch any fish. That's, I guess, part of being a fisherman. But Jesus is concerned with Peter, not simply because Peter is a sinner, although he is, or Peter needs a lot of help, although he does. It's just simply, he had a bad day at work. Now, you if you've lived long enough, will have bad days of work. You have bad days of church. You have bad days, period. And Jesus is concerned about that. And the first thing is, to be Christ-centered, and that's what I want to talk about today, is to trust Jesus with more than just getting into heaven. Because a lot of times, when we talk about Jesus, the first thing, but I understand it's the most important thing, but the first thing is he'll keep you out of hell, or he'll get you into heaven. Not necessarily he wants to be the master of your life. He wants to teach you how to live this life. He's concerned about your daily activities. His concern, even if you have a bad day at work. And so Jesus is concerned not only about getting us into heaven, but I've said this multiple times, but getting heaven into us and releasing heaven here on earth. That's why when the disciples ask Jesus, "Teach us how to pray," Jesus says, "Pray in this way, your kingdom come, your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven." And I don't know why he doesn't use angels to accomplish his will here on earth and as it is in heaven. He uses us. Although angels are a big part of it, he uses us and he asks us to pray that into reality. Being Christ-centered is more than asking Jesus to get us into heaven, but it's inviting Jesus to get heaven into us and release it here on earth. And I think a lot of times when we have the mindset of Jesus as something like an insurance policy, that we don't see the genius of Jesus. Now when I say, name some of the smartest people that ever lived on earth, you know, immediately some people might think Einstein or Steve Jobs. I don't know if anyone thought that. No. Newton. Sir Isaac Newton. If you're, you know, secular, you might say something like Darwin. Jesus, I don't know if he ever comes up to people's mind. I don't know if people understand the genius of Jesus. The absolute just greatness of who he is. Maybe it's overshadowed by his love. Maybe it's overshadowed by his grace. Maybe it's overshadowed by his sacrifice. But in all of that, he is absolutely phenomenal in all areas. And he comes to Simon and Peter. Simon Peter, they're both the same person. When you see scripture and it says Simon, it means Peter. Peter is actually the nickname for Simon. Make sense? Just so you don't get lost. I won't get into the name. But when he goes to Peter, Peter is an expert fisherman. In fact, some people say he's so good, he had like a team of fishermen. So his partners were James and John, and Peter was their boss. And Peter knew a lot about fishing, and so when he comes in contact with Jesus, he realized Jesus is a holy man. But also, what happens is, Jesus is going to teach Peter how to fish a little bit. Now imagine that. Has Jesus ever done that to you? Have you allowed him to do that to you? Teach him something you're good at. Whether you're good at math, I'm trying to think of some. Whether you're good at, I'm trying to think of, you know, Toshio likes gardening. Whether you're good at gardening, whether you're good at language, whether you're good at music, whether you're good at accounting, whether you're good at etc. Do you allow Jesus to actually say, "Hey, why don't you do this for a change and see what happens?" Has he ever done that to you? I remember this was about 15 years ago. I was listening to a radio station, James Dobson, and there was a guest speaker who was a police officer. This was 15 years ago, so I'm going to get some of the details wrong, but I'm going to tell the story anyways. But the police officer, sorry, this keeps going in and out. The police officer gets a call. And I believe there was a robbery at a home. So he gets a call. He goes to the home. The door is already a little bit ajar. It's open a little bit. So he goes in. He senses Jesus telling him, "Put away your gun." Now, if you know anything about police protocol, if you have watched enough TV or movies about police, when they're in that kind of situation, they have their gun, right? And they're probably like going through like the walls and making sure they don't get shot first. And this is a dangerous call. So he feels Jesus say, "Put your gun away." Although rationally and logically and protocol tells him all to have his gun with him. But he decides to trust Jesus. So he puts his gun away. And he goes and he starts and he hears a noise in the kitchen. He goes into the kitchen, and when he goes into the kitchen, the woman, she like quickly reaches for something. And if he had his gun with him, he probably would have shot her. What happened was, as he went into the kitchen, the woman was working on something, and it slipped out of her hand, and she just instinctively went to go grab it. And it was just an amazing testimony of Proverbs 3, I believe 15, where it says, "Lean not on your own understanding, but trust in the Lord with all your heart." Trusting God. Peter does the same thing here. Peter is saying, "Lord, we fished all night." And some scholars say, fishes don't go in the deep end of the sea. But Lord, since he says so, we'll do it. Have you guys ever been fishing like this? So it's not actually like fishing. So it's not like, "Oh, okay, let's go fishing and throw our lines out." It's actually hard work to do what they are doing. I guess I kind of have a feeling of what they went through. I used to live in California, and one time I went to Santa Monica to go hooping. Does anyone know what hooping is? All right. Okay. Hooping is catching lobster and crab at Santa Monica. And what we do is, when we hoop, is we get a boat and we just throw hoops into the ocean. They're a hoop with a net, and you know, we put like bait, like a salmon or something in there, and the crabs and lobster, they go in, and then we bring the hoop up. It's actually a lot of work. I've only went once, and I think it's because I'm not invited again because I messed up the one time I went. So when we went hooping, the hoop was there, and the trick is you got to bring it up as fast as you can, and it's, you know, it's a lot of rope because it's supposed to go to the bottom of the ocean. But you don't want to stop bringing it up, because once you stop, like, the net kind of, you know, allows the crab and the lobster to get out. And so I was doing this, and it was so heavy, and I could picture like a whole bunch of crabs because it was just so heavy, a lot of lobster. And as I was doing it, my forearms gave way and I stopped. And my brother had to come in and finish it for me. And then there was nothing in the hoop. And I was never invited again. Anyways, so all I'm trying to say is actually hard work to fish like this. Peter says, "Lord, because you say so, I'll do it." Romans talks about faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the Word of God. And of course, a lot of us, we automatically think of Scripture when we hear the Word of God, but I believe Jesus is speaking to each and every one of us even today. Especially when we have bad days of work, just like Peter does. Especially when we have bad days. Even good days, Jesus will speak to us. Normal days. And it's important that we stop and say, "Lord, that doesn't make sense, but I'll do it anyways. Lord, it's impractical. I'll do it anyways. Lord, the other fishermen, they'll make fun of me if I do this, because fishes don't go out that way, but I'll do this." I remember one time, after talking about how God speaks, this gentleman came up to me and he said, "Yeah, I had that happen to me when I was fishing. I was trying to fish and I couldn't catch a fish, and I felt God say, 'Throw your cast where you see the shadow of a tree in the lake.' And I did it, and once I did it, I caught a fish." I was like, "Oh, that's pretty amazing." Now, your life may not have amazing stories like that, and it definitely will never have amazing stories like that if you never trust in God enough to obey Him and walk in faith. I encourage you. It says, "When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break." Amen. If you have a testimony like that, it's easy to talk about Jesus. Amen. Whether you're in real estate, stocks, whatever, when God blesses you in such a way that it's obvious that something miraculous happens, it's easy to talk about God. And I encourage you, if you're having a hard time talking about God, try a little obedience. Try a little trust. And you'll have a testimony. And you'll have something to talk about. Something you want to talk about. Something you can't stop talking about. You know, "Hey, I had my garden, the roses, they just stopped growing, and God told me to do this, and all of a sudden I have a beautiful garden like Toshio's garden." You know, you can't stop talking about something like that. "Hey, I was fishing, I couldn't catch anything, and then I felt God say, you know, cast your fishing stuff, cast your lure, is that where the shadow is, and you'll catch a fish." Do you have a testimony like that? If not, keep walking with God. Keep trusting God. Eventually, He will ask you to do something pretty unconventional, pretty impractical, and the choice is yours, whether to trust Him, whether to obey Him, and learn to trust Him. The secret of being Christ-centered and trusting God is simple obedience. Hey, you never obey Him, there's no reason to trust Him. But if you go out in faith with simple obedience, and He comes, and He meets you, and He surpasses all of your expectation, guess what? It's easy to trust Him. It's interesting, Simon Peter's reaction to what happened. It was a miracle. I mean, for them, those fishes represented financial blessing, right? Because they'll eventually probably have to sell it, barter it, etc. When Peter sees this, he falls at Jesus' knees and says, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." What an amazing reaction. And Jesus, he doesn't deny Peter's statement. He doesn't say, no, Peter, you're all right, you're a pretty good person. Jesus realizes Peter is a sinful person. That's the right assessment Peter makes. But it doesn't deter Jesus one bit. I love this thing. Jesus loves us as we are and not as we should be. Amen. Isn't that good news? Come on, somebody. He loves us as we are and not what my pastor thinks I should be like. Or He loves me as I am, not as my dad or my mom thinks I should be like. He loves me as I am, not like the world thinks I should be like. He simply loves me as I am. And He loved Peter even before Peter did a thing. He loved Peter. And He says, "Peter, I want you to join my team. I choose you to be on my team." It's good to be chosen, amen? And Scripture talks about we have been chosen. I've asked this before, but how many of you have been in the situation where they're picking teams and you're kind of like the last one to be picked? No? Yes? Some of us know that pain. I've never known that. No, just kidding. Well, when I was younger, I was more athletic looking than I am now. Not too long ago, maybe about 3 years ago now, I was at LA Fitness playing basketball, and they were picking teams. And I was looking at these people, and I knew I was better than a lot of these people. I ended up getting picked last. When you get picked last, you're not picked. You're not chosen. You are put on a team by default. And it is a bad feeling. The good news is I played well that game, and I made them feel bad that they didn't pick me. Anyways, my point is not about being picked in basketball. My point is this. Jesus has chosen you. And He has chosen you not because of what you have done. Not who you should be, or who you ought to be, or the pressures of this world, but He chose you for who you are even now. And He says this, and when He chooses us, it's on us now. Do we obey Him? Let me tell you, if God chooses you, and you learn to obey Him. Well, if you learn to hear His voice, and His voice is a still, quiet voice, and His voice sometimes will be a little irrational. It might not be the most logical thing to do at the moment. It might not be the most practical thing to do at the moment. You know, we can't think out everything before we do it when it comes to the kingdom of God. That's why we have to walk by faith and not by sight. When we hear God's voice, and as impractical as it may be, if we learn to obey, it will be easy to trust. And when we learn to obey and trust with His love, it will transform your life. In fact, it's not meant to just transform your life. It's meant to transform this world. Your kingdom come. Your will be done here on heaven as it is in earth. I encourage you to put Christ at the center of your life by learning to listen, obey, and trust. And He will do the transforming. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You so much for today. And I do feel for some of us, although we may be hungry right now in the natural, I feel there's a spiritual hunger in this room. I encourage you to fill that spiritual hunger, not with the things of this world, but with obedience. Doing the will of the Father. I feel like if you learn to fill your spiritual stomachs with obedience, there will be so much fulfillment. Your circumstance may not change, but there will be a deep fulfillment in your heart. We thank You, Lord, so much for offering us Your heavenly bread. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.